After months of campaigning and debates, months of leaks and tweets and videotapes, months of bad hombres and nasty women, pussy grabbing, deleted emails, dirty money, finally, this whole ugly, degrading, stressful election is about to be over. I'm Anne Strangechamps, and on November 8th, finally, you and I get to walk into a polling place, pick up a ballot, and cast our one and only personal and private vote. Oh, did I say private?
The fact that you voted is public information. What's not public is who you voted for. That's secret. But the thing is that these guys have so much information on us, our demographics, like the kind of newspapers we read. Like, they can infer so much about us that they might as well know who we actually voted for.
This is Kathy O'Neill. She's a data scientist, and she says there's one thing about this election you might have missed. You were micro-targeted. So these days, political campaigns know everything about you. They know your gender, your occupation, where you live, where you shop, what you buy, who your social network is, and what websites you look at. So you tell me, what do you think they do with all that information about you?
Okay, so let's say they have a candidate, and let's say that candidate has like 17 different opinions about policy. So they're going to have, for any person, you, they're going to have a score of to what extent you agree with the candidate on those policies. Now, they'll also have a score. To what extent are you persuadable? So they'll send different advertisements, different sort of campaign ads, I should say, to people on Facebook showing this ad to that demographic and a slightly different ad to a slightly different demographic. Facebook, just to be clear, step back. This is what Facebook makes money on.
So this is way beyond a blue and a red Facebook feed.
It's much more targeted. So, you know, I heard that after the second debate, and it's probably true after the third debate, but I heard after the second debate that both the Clinton and the Trump campaigns had so many different Facebook ads that would, depending on the ad, would send them to hundreds of different websites that they had set up just for that one debate. So that literally their web designers are creating different landing pages mm-hmm. depending on which ad you saw on Facebook. And by the way, if I went to or you went to the candidate's website to get more information about their stance on policies, they would be tracking you with cookies and they would show you what they want you to see.
Wait, if I and somebody else go to Donald Trump's website, we're going to see different things on
Absolutely.
That website.
Yeah, because websites nowadays are created when you get there. And that's the kind of exactly the kind of thing that political campaigns want an edge on. They want to say, oh, who are you? What will you respond positively to? We're going to create that for you, that environment. And by the way, we're going to tailor and curate the information that you get to see.
You know, that goes a long way toward explaining something I've wondered about, which is why this election in particular seems to be divided into such hardcore camps who often seem to be talking across each other. And more than that, they really each think the other one is lying. They're just absolutely convinced. Well, if we're being fed and receiving different information, then that explains why.
Yeah. Let me just throw in one more.
Yeah.
Like, we have the Facebook trending algorithm, which they recently fired all their human curators and like left it up to the algorithm. And the algorithm is sometimes sort of suggesting that people read news that is not even real news. It's actually fake news. We've had a proliferation of fake news websites that are created simply to manipulate people. And because Facebook and for that matter, other platforms are not taking responsibility for curating, this stuff is wildly successful. And it's degrading our concept of what is actually news and what is just made up.
So the larger picture that you're talking about is complex data algorithms that are now permeating most kind of interactions we have online. And because we don't see them, because they're not transparent to us, we have no power over them and we don't even know we're being manipulated. Am I getting this right?
I think one of the things that's scariest to me about, especially about the political information that is being disseminated by campaigns. Mm-hmm. And the story I like to remind people of is like the Mitt Romney 47% speech. So he gave that speech to a bunch of hedge fund, you know, millionaires in a private club. And he said, okay, well, 47% of this country is never going to vote for me. They're like the takers. Now, we didn't hear about that because the millionaires at that function were outraged and told us. We heard about that because there was a bartender who secretly videotaped it and then leaked it to the press. So in other words, to be clear, what I'm saying about that is politicians curate their speech. They give people what they want to hear. What we have now is like a system, a big data version of that, where you're not going to get it leaked from these people who are hearing weirder and weirder things because it's what they want to hear. And there is no bartender in the room.
It's just an algorithm.
It's just an algorithm. It's a private message. We don't, like the press, like you cannot keep track of what's going on. What are you saying to these various people, you, the political campaign?
So I can't call up the Hillary Clinton campaign and say, I want to see every message you've sent out to every micro-targeted group.
Correct. As I said, hundreds of different messages to hundreds of different types of people. How could you possibly keep track of them all? So, like, in other words, I'm basically saying the press has a historical responsibility of keeping politicians honest. And the way they used to do it is they used to travel with these politicians from town to town and say, hey, you said this to this town, and then you changed your tune to this town, and they would report that. They can't do that anymore.
I suppose it's the takeaway message, I guess, is consumer beware, as in information consumer beware.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I want to make sure that I'm not leaving with the message that it's up to the individual to deal with this, because it is so systemic and it's so huge that if we did that, then very, very few people would actually protect themselves, right? So I protect myself with respect to this information filter bubble by reading very, very like explicitly reading stuff that is not being fed to me. Like, I go out of my way to read stuff that I disagree with because I want to keep track of that. But not everyone is going to do that. Not everyone has time to do that. Mm-hmm. We have to figure out a system that works better than this.
Kathy O'Neill is a data scientist, author of the blog mathbabe.org, and of the new book, Weapons of Math Destruction.